Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries, which is a call to the American churches to wake them up from their lukewarmness and indifference, to rise with a passion and a fire for the truth of the gospel. Oh, how we've lost that. Not our personal opinions, but what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What is the truth? Because through the Word of God is the truth. It's the only truth, right? What it means to be a child of God, it's all written in our scriptures on how to be a child of God. It's no mystery. You see, many churches in America, they have sugarcoated the gospel for years and years. It's sad that this new generation think they are on top of something, but they are building on foundation of a generation before them that have sugarcoated the gospel. And real men of God get up there and start proclaiming the truth. They go away from them because they don't want to hear truly what the scripture says. They truly don't want a revival as they think they want. No, they want a revival as this world would view, a false revival that could barely revive themselves. Sad. The only truth is through the Word of God. The truth is this world, this nation, America, they do not want to hear the real truth of the gospel. America will fall. I believe we are. There's always a little hope, right? We turn from our wicked ways. I believe we're just way far down that rabbit hole right now. Something horrible needs to happen. Devastating to rip the guts out of America for they truly to reach revival, a true revival. See, we're too comfortable. We leave. Our life is not a reflection of a change. Sunday should be no different than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Saturday. Of course, Sunday should be the same. Our lives are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to blend into this world. We are not supposed to conform to this world. We are supposed to rise above this world. We should not let the world rub off on us. No, we shouldn't. We should rub off on this world. But how many are truly doing that? This ministry was birthed off of that. And I'm so happy that whoever's listening to this podcast tonight, at least if it's just one or two, I know that you're seeking the truth. Numbers can be a big factor for a lot of people. I don't care about numbers. And Jesus didn't care about numbers. He had 12. And he did all right with 12. So I could do all right with 6. Right? If you guys are following this website, or you may be new to this website, several things. Post daily devotionals throughout the day. Of course, there's Bible studies on here. I have a spiritual warfare Bible study. I'm big on spiritual warfare. You will not hear many churches speaking about spiritual warfare, but that is critical, critical to walking a life that is honoring and pleasing to God. We must know our enemy, right? And of course, I got sermons on here. It's all free. Use them at your wherever you want, list them over and over, or you use them in church, it doesn't matter. It's all about growing in Christ, and I am all about growth. Growth. True growth. A follower of Jesus who has denied him or herself, that is willing to give it all for the cause of Christ, regardless what it may be, even if it may be an inconvenience. The cost. If today they pass a bill that told us we could not preach, and that could happen, against homosexuality, where will you stand? A bill that would say it would be against the law. You would be just a common criminal, just like a murderer, a rapist. They would throw you in jail. Will you still proclaim the gospel? That's a good question to ask yourself. If it truly costs you something, it costs you your very freedom. Even if your family turns on you, will you say, amen, thank you, God, for choosing me to be that messenger in this time of darkness? Tonight we'll be in Psalms 2, and this is the third part of this sermon series, and it's more, I was saying, a preaching, teaching series. This is pretty much more leaning more on a preaching series. So let's just call it a preaching series on Psalm. This is a third part of the broke down Psalms 2 in three parts, and you guys can go back. Actually, you can, on this website, you can actually scroll down and you'll see part 2 and part 1. And there's a few weeks you can go down. I did a few Bible studies, and then you can hit Psalm 1, which I did two parts on Psalm 1. And then praying over Psalm 2 and where the direction the Holy Spirit wanted to take me in this Psalm, it brought me into three parts. Probably could preach a whole month on Psalms 2. It's just so much information, so much spiritual food, knowledge. But just a little recap. It was written by David, Psalms 2. You can see there is a personal story behind it for David. We discussed a little bit of that in the first part of Psalm 2. And there is a deeper meaning, which we did discuss in a little bit in part 1, part 2, and a whole lot tonight. The overall theme of this psalm is humanity, man, or humanity, rebellion against God. And that's kind of a overall arching theme of this psalm, is humanity's rebellion against God. And we know that continues. Hit on points about the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the garden, and the sin that was committed within that garden, the manipulation of Eve, which allowed herself to be taken, deceived by Satan to get of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which led to the sin into this world, which led to evil into this world. Of course, sin compounds sin, and it dominates this world. Today we live in a cursed world. And because this is a cursed world, this is Satan's world, right? This is Satan's world. You can see that, of course, in when, I think it's Matthew 4, when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus after his fast, and he brings him up to the mountain and shows him his kingdoms, and he said, I can give you all these. This is a cursed world. It has fallen under the curse. And this world, the world systems, humanity is all curse. It's sinful down to the education system. Yes, the education system. Down to, the government, the business. It's all cursed. And it's all anti-God. The secular education system and much of the what we would label as Christian education system is getting corrupt too. I know that's not popular, and I'm not saying one can be a Christian in those systems, and there are. But we need not to compromise who we are from the workplace, wherever it may be, in a secular job to a educator. We still should never compromise who we are in Christ, and never shy away from being bold in our faith, regardless what the cost may be. So let's go ahead and read again through Psalms 2, 1 through 12. It's just very powerful. And then we'll break the last several scriptures down. That will be Psalms 7 through 12. So if you have your Bibles, so flip over there to Psalms 2, 1 through 12. And here is what it says. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain thing? The kings of the earth sit themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sit in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in their derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my kings upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, the strength to do this podcast, Lord. You know I'm weak, but you are strong. You know how I can get, how I can get prideful. Oh, how I want to assert my will over yours, Lord. You know me. You know Jonathan. I know myself too, Lord. I seek you. I seek your humbleness to humble me, to break me if you need to, as a vessel to use wherever you need me to be, wherever you need me to be. I surrender it all. Lord, I pray those that are at the sound of this prayer, they feel the same way. They're broken. They want to be broken. They want to get humble. They want to be broken to a point where they are just radiating the Holy Spirit throughout their bodies. That there's a glow about them, Lord. That they're just not showing something they're not. They're not taking pride for something they aren't. They're not being a poster and fake. Oh, Lord, you know our hearts. And how many are not truly, truly pure before your eyes. You know the evilness. You know our intentions. You know every thought that goes through our minds. Oh, how we can't hide from you. Oh, how we think we do. Times will get rough. People will walk away from the faith because they were never in the faith. Oh Lord, help us discern those that are around us. They're imposters. They're seeking their own glory, seeking the multitude, instead of seeking the one true God, not worrying about numbers, not worrying about whatever it may be that will make us glorify ourselves above everybody else. Let our name be zero and yours be everything. Let them see Jesus through us. Let them know Jesus. Oh, how they want to glorify a man. It's been like that from the beginning. Satan had that issue. Lucifer wanted to lift his throne above yours, Lord. He wanted to be prideful. Oh, he fell. Oh, how Eve and Adam, oh, how they fall. And oh, how we will fall in the same spirit, in that same desire, a passion to glorify ourselves above the one and true holy God that has the power to save and to comfort us beyond whatever we're going through. Oh, let your name be glorified. Let our spirit be humble and broken before you. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Verse 7. I will declare the creed the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. David. The lineage of David. And we know came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Acts 12:33 says this, God hath fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As written in Psalm, in the second Psalm, referring back to this Psalm, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Through the line of David, we provide the Savior. The one that we have to taste that bitterness of death. Oh, pain and oh, suffering our Jesus experienced on that day. The mocking, the beating, the scourging, the cross. Oh, how the nails was driven into his wrists and feet. Oh, this blameless Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that had paid a horrible price for a sinner. Scum like me, a sinner like you, a sinner like us. You see, the cross tells us we cannot save ourselves. We do not have the power to save ourselves. Oh, how we think we are something and we are nothing. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags to a holy and righteous God. If you look at filthy rags, that is used. Tampons, oh, that may be disgusting. Get uncomfortable because you're in front of a holy and righteous God. Don't think you're something that you're not. We are nothing without God. Oh, how we want to take credit when we preach a powerful sermon or lead someone to Christ. Oh, look, I saved somebody. You saved nobody. Oh, he may leave a powerful teaching series, write several teaching novels, boast about yourself. Oh, how we boast and brag. Oh, pride, oh, fills you up. Oh, pride comes fall every time. We should be humble and broken at the altar every day. But are we? We should have that passion, that fire burning in us every day to study the scriptures, to not get enough of the scriptures instead of coming home and turning on the television to deal with the stressful days. Oh, how King TV is became our idol, or whatever distraction that may be. Could be your family. They can be a distraction. You need that time in the Word of God. You need that time in deep devotional prayer for hours. You need that fasting for days. And all through that, the worship and the praise. Oh, praise on your lips and worship in your heart should be present every day. Oh, let us surrender it all and give it all. Making Jesus the primary purpose of our life, not the second, third chore of the day. Oh, I got to read my Bible. It's just another thing to check off your list to do. Why, it should be the only thing that's important for the day. I'm not unrealistic. We have to work. I work full-time job. I'm not one of those preachers that only preach on Sunday or Wednesday and then they hide in their home for the rest of the week. Whatever they're doing, Lord knows what they're doing. And we wonder why Satan and his demons are running rampant. Look at like they have control of our lives. When we are supposed to be the Christians with the Holy Spirit in our life, that power, that unction. Not because we're special, because we are His children, the children of God. Satan can't do nothing with that. You can't have a church that's full every Sunday. If their heart's not full with the gospel and the fire and the passion to seek God with all their hearts, then it's empty. Sad. The truth is, many leave Jesus right there on those Sunday pews. No hearts changed, just dead inside with dead man bones, rotting corpses with no life, no change, sad. We're supposed to be alive in Christ, a burning light, a light up on that hill, a lighthouse. Oh, a lighthouse let us be, that others see the light. They see that we are different, that we don't conform to this world. We stand up. Amen. In verse 7, you'll see that word, begotten. Begotten. This is referring to the resurrection of Christ. You see, without the resurrection, Christ would have just been another great man, another great prophet, another great physician, another great counselor, another great educator. Many would want you to believe that today. They would want you to believe that there was no resurrection, that it was orchestrated. A good book to read other than the Bible, a secondary, is The Case for Christ by Lee Strobe. In short, it's a great book. In short, there is too much evidence pointing to a resurrection. We need to be able to, when somebody comes and say, oh, there was no resurrection, course in love, not being argumentative, but putting, why would you say that? Why would you say that? And they hit you with something, you're stuttering because you realize you have not studied. You look like a fool, not because Jesus is a fool, because you are. Because you have not studied yourself to show yourself approved, right? We are supposed to study ourselves and know how to divide that word of truth by the Holy Spirit guiding and directing our speech. Are we? The resurrection is factual. Jesus rose from that third day is factional. It's real. Oh, what power and strength to see Jesus restored, right? Could you just imagine if you were witnessing Jesus being mutilated beyond recognition, blood streaming from His body, flesh dangling from His body. nailed to that cross, dripping blood. You see, the disciples, original disciples, seeing Jesus fully restored, it clicked with them. Jesus just conquered the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57 says this: O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to be God, which given us victory. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection. Oh, do we fear death? It just blows my mind how many people are afraid of death. See, if you're a child of God, physical death shouldn't do nothing to you. It shouldn't even, you shouldn't have wink an eye at it. It's nothing compared that is waiting for us. I start scratching my head when I see these Christians out there professing to know Jesus, but they're wiped with fear all over them because of death. And I start wondering, why are they so fearful? Are they reading the same scriptures I'm reading? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this: For it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Right? And of course, this is referring back to Isaiah 64:4, right? Hollywood with special effects don't have nothing on what we are going to see. You can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. Our eyes have not seen anything that we will see. Our ears have not heard anything that we will hear when we're with our Jesus. You can listen to music, soothing music. It calms you. You may be into classical music. I like classical music. A little Chopin. Maybe there's something else. You listen to it and it just kind of, it relaxes you, right? A good Christian artist like Amy Grant with a soothing, amazing grace, it relaxes you. Our ears have not heard the music that we will hear one day. I love music. If you guys follow me on Facebook, I love music, Christian music mainly. I don't listen to any other music out there. I was heavily involved and listened to a lot of satanic music when I was running from God. Music has power. I know, because when I was in those dark moments away from God and running from God and listening to like AC/DC and Metallica, and the demons would comfort me. There's power in what we listen to, I promise you. Guard our hearts, guard our ears, guard our eyes. Very important. We should be very careful what we listen to. We should be very careful what we watch. It does affect our soul, I promise you. I'm not speaking from somebody with no experience. I used to dabble in a lot of things. I'm very aware of the spiritual realms out there. Trust me, Satan and his demons are very real. But so is Jesus and his angels. And they're more powerful than anything Satan and the devil can hit you with. It's all about stepping into that victory that Jesus has given us. Death is not our enemy, guys. It's just a beginning of something amazing if you're a child of God. Revelations 21:4 says this: And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away. Of course, this is dealing with the second coming, but it's still very applicable And when we do pass and we are children of God, and that He will wipe away the tears from our eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All the things that we experience in this life, and some do experience great sickness, they will be healed in the next life forever and forever. That's beautiful, right? You think the disciples now, they're thinking about their former life, right? No, they're no longing for pain. They are no longer crying. They are no more experiencing the painful things of this life. One thing that rubs me the wrong way is almost every funeral I've been to, and I'm 41, I've been to a few more than I would care to note. Seems like everybody at the person that's dead, they all are in heaven right now. The sad truth is, they're not. But they do find them a good heretic to get up there and to lie to them about it. But it's amazing when you do know somebody, that you know there was that person that is now in heaven, was truly walking with Jesus. Live a life that was shining the light of Jesus. That's amazing. It brings you excitement. Because we know they're home in heaven. On the reverse side, if you know that person personally, you know how they live their life, and the Bible is very clear, by their fruit you will know them. It's not being judgmental. Oh, how the church or the people in the church want to slap Matthew 7:1 and throw it all out of contents because they want to live a life of sin. God is a holy and righteous God. He will judge sin. He will. It will be those that are in hell now. Those that did not walk a life that was a reflection of Christ. And yes, we have our ups and downs. We are flesh. I know that. And we have that carnal nature. Yes. But here's the thing. If you are truly a child of God, your fruit of the Holy Spirit will shine more than the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5, right? Read that straight through. Galatians 1 all the way. Galatians 5, 1 all the way down tells you to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And the Bible tells us exactly how to do that. It's not rocket science. It's just open your Bibles. Last part of these scriptures in Psalm 2. 8 through 12 says, "Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter vessel. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoicing with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Ye perish from the way, and when his wrath is kindled but a little, bless our all they that put their trust in Him." Jesus is coming back. Don't be deceived. And to us, we should be joyful waiting for this. We should be wanting His return daily. Why? Because this world is not our home. If you're like me, when I look at this world, it breaks my heart. And when I'm proclaiming the true gospel, even among those churches in America today, it falls on deaf ears because they have their mindset. They have let Satan blind them from the truth of the gospel. And they don't want to hear it when they don't will not retain sound doctrine. Except a gospel that is driven by Satan. Matthew 24:37-39 says this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Who is they in this passage? They're the ones who mocked and made fun of Noah and his family. It is those who did not want to hear the truth. Did not want to hear that they should live a life that is holy and righteous before God. They want to enjoy their sin and sins and did not want anyone to tell them otherwise. Sounds familiar, right? Genesis 5:5 saying, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. We're not very far away. I would even argue that we are there. Second Peter 3:2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord Savior, knowing this first, they shall come in the last days, as the days of Noah, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Think about that. Oh, Noah, you saying it's going to rain? It hasn't rained. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they were willing or ignorant of that by the word of God. The heavens were old and the earth stand out of the water and the water. And whereby the world then was being overflowed with water perish. But the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved to the fire against the day of judgment and partition of the ungodly man. Here is speaking of the flood. And we know Jesus made a covenant, the rainbow, right? That he would not flood this world again. But on the flip side, Verse 7, by the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept stored. We are stored. This world is still reserved to fire against the day of judgment and partition of the ungodly man. He will destroy this world with fire. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men would count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all shall come to repentance. But the day of the Lord come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works thereof that are within shall burn up. It shall burn up. Judgment, end time judgment here, is coming to this world. We may think we're experiencing hard times now, but we No, like birth pains, it will increase and it will increase until the final judgment, the end time judgment, when this world will be, the elements will melt with fervent heat. See, we are living in a time where people will not heed sound doctrine. They will seek teachers and preachers that will tickle, massage their ears, tell them comfortable lies. And these comfortable lies will lead them straight to the pit of hell. But we do not have to be discouraged if we are a child of God. As children of God, He is not slack upon His promises. Right? Psalm 2 verse 11 tells us, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss suddenly, ye be angry, ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all they that put their trust in the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear. See, this fear is speaking of a reverence, a humbleness, a surrendering, to surrender your life, your will to the Holy Father. You see, we all have expectations of our life. I know I did not see myself preaching, although many, we would say many moons ago, at the age of, I think I was 12 or 13, a prophet, true prophet, prophesied over my life, scared me to death. He told me, God has called, basically anointed me to be a preacher during the end times, the last days. Don't know what that still looks like, other than just doing what I'm doing now. And that could be the fulfillment of prophecy. It could be something deeper. I don't know. I don't seek fame for myself and never will. I'm just a humble man of God. Humble before a God that's so mighty. And to surrender it all. Wherever He can make of my life. Wherever it may be. To reach those around me. Yes, surrender, guys. Broken, humbled every day at the altar, praying for hours in the morning, seeking God, knowing who I am. That's surrender. Are you surrendered, right? That's fear. That's reverence. Rejoicing with trembling, right? To tremble in reverence to a holy God. We're missing that. We're supposed to have a fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the holy is understanding, right? We're supposed to have a fear of God. It puts our hearts in the right places. It puts our heart right there with where God can use us and the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth, right? That truth is the wisdom and knowledge of the Scriptures. Because until we have this fear, we will be revived. And we will know the direction of that day where the Holy Spirit will lead us. It will not be scratching our head and trying to figure out our purpose. No, when we break our, when God breaks us at the altar and we humble ourselves, we are not confused. Oh, but it's that spirit of fear. Oh, how you can see that with the coronavirus. Oh, how all the churches shut their doors. Most of the churches shut their doors. Spirit of fear. But God has not given us this spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. He gives us that power and that love. We're not supposed to act like that world, fearing everything. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear you not, for I am with you." God is with us. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with my right hand and my righteousness. Oh, I think of Matthew 8 and Mark 4, 35, 41. When the disciples are in the boat and the storm comes. You could think of maybe you're in the boat and a hurricane just hit you. Oh, how they were panicking. And Jesus was right there with them in Mark 4, 35, 41, sleeping, resting. He wasn't worrying about anything. Oh, how we should not worry about anything and place our trust, place our faith in the one and true and holy God. Oh, do we? Verse 12, kiss the Son. Oh, to kiss the Son. Oh, that's to humble our spirit, to humble ourselves before a holy God. Yes. We should come to the altar broken, humbled before a holy God. Let's read these passages again. Psalm 2, 1 through 12, and you're with me, read it along with me. Then in the morning, look back over it, pray over it. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sit in heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my kings upon my holy hill, Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with rods of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter vessel. Be wise then, therefore, kings. Be instructed, ye judges of earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoicing, trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." The overall theme, if you want to get a big picture of these scriptures, the Holy Spirit has led me to do three parts on these passages. I encourage you guys to listen to them. If you got questions, just text me or actually email me, Facebook me. But the overarching theme is humanity's rebellion against God. We know that David wrote this psalm. I quoted Steve J. Cole at Bible.org several times. He says this: "Even though the world scene looks as if God has been in an extended vacation, David shows us that God's plan have not failed and shall not fail. Everything is under His ordained time." Thus, David appeals to the rebellious nations bent before the Almighty God while they still have time to bow before the Almighty God. That is David's story there, his historical story that he was dealing with. The deeper meaning is same. See, there's nothing different in the sense that Satan is still up to his old tricks. Started in the garden with Adam and Eve. You can read that in Genesis about 2, that part, half, Genesis 2, about part through that, halfway through that to Genesis 3, 1 through, you probably could read the whole chapter there, is you will see Satan's deception. His deception on Eve. Look at that tree, Eve. Oh, look at it. Oh, how beautiful does it look? Oh, how the fruit just kind of stands out among the rest of the trees. They don't look like that tree. They're different. Why don't you just grab a piece and take a bite? Oh, Eve, how she wanted to go into a conversation with Satan when she never go in a conversation with Satan. She takes of the tree, she bites it, and then Adam, which is right there with her, takes of it, and sin comes into this world. Evil comes on humanity. This rebellion against God began at the garden. And if you read throughout the Old Testament all the way up to the New Testament, the rebellion still remains. All the way up to our time and our age, which is pretty much the conclusion or the end of this world, because our time is coming. We know Jesus is coming back sooner than any generation has experienced. Just open your eyes, wake up, look at all the chaos. Look how it has intensified against all things that are holy. Example is marriage. Would you ever thought you would see two men marry and for the government say that's okay and that's honored? Same thing with two women and saying that's honored. As the days of Noah, so will be the days of the coming of Christ. As Noah was proclaiming a truth for many years, and it laid on deaf ears, they heard it, and it went out of one ear. As we, true men of God, proclaim the truth that our sin, oh, America's sin, oh, how we try to label it to make it fit into our language, as it's not sin, but it is sin. It's against God. It's a cancer that's been eating away at this world. It's slowly eating away at America to a point where America cannot even be seen as a godly remnant. Our government has driven God out of their mandates. Our education system, the secular education, has driven God out of their schools. This rebellion, oh, how the heathen rage. And people imagine a vain thing, right? As the days of Noah, they were doing everything in their imagination. As of America, we're doing everything in our imagination. Oh, how we think we got it. Oh, how we think our will is the best. Oh, how we are going to exercise our will. Let us break the bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. And God just looks down from heaven And so really, you think you got this? You can't even lace your shoes. I can remove you from this earth in a blink of an eye. You're not even promised tomorrow. Go ahead and make your plans. I will look at your plans and laugh. Keep making your plans as they did in the days of Noah until that first drop of rain fell. It got real. Oh, I can imagine all the stories or the preachings they heard from Noah just came to their minds like a flooded, of thoughts as a physical flood was about to hit them. Oh, how they could have ran. I believe they was running to that ark, but now it was closed. Their time has ended. Our time will end. All of us, man, preaching the word of God, proclaiming a gospel, but people choose to listen to these other heretics that give them comfortable lies, that will not tell them the truth. Oh, how their time is coming. Oh, how our God is coming. Oh, how the fire will fall. Oh, the judgment of God will hit this nation in the end time. Are we ready for that? Have we truly surrendered our life to the one and to the true and the holy God? Are we broken and humble before a holy and righteous God? Oh, is our will below us and we give it all to God? We're not seeking our glory and our honor. No, we're seeking the one true holy God that can do all. Oh, our name shouldn't matter, but we do. We think we're something. Oh, how prideful we get. We brag and boast of our members, how many we have. Oh, we boast and brag how many people came to Christ. Not because we're glorifying God, because we're glorifying our God. Oh, our heart's not right. Oh, we're not truly ready for the cost it is to be a child of God. Oh, heaven help us. Our hearts should be humble and broken before a holy God. And I pray tonight that your heart is broken and humbled, and that you are utterly and totally surrendered to Jesus, regardless of the cost. Love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach this, preach through Psalm 2. Lord, give us strength to keep continuing on in Psalm series. Lord, they give me the words I need to say. Lord, help me pin the manuscripts down as I write these through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let it touch whoever hears this message, if it's tonight or if it's in the week or if it's a year from now. I don't know, Lord, if these messages, whoever they reach, Lord, I know they will reach somebody. One person doesn't matter. If it's one person, that's all that matters. It's one person that turns from their wicked ways and come to you, Lord. That's all that matters. Oh, how we get distracted about big numbers. Oh, numbers don't matter. Quantity. Oh, quantity. Oh, how our church seeks quantity. How we seek to treat church like a business. Oh, church is not a business. Oh, church is more than that. Quality. The heart. Where does it lie? Is it full with a passion, the gospel of truth? A heart, a ministry to go out into that world and to proclaim the gospel, to reach those that need to be reached. To not think about how foolish we may look preaching the gospel, but only to proclaim your name over all. Lord, I pray that you be with us through the rest of the week. I pray that you guide us and you direct us to that one person or two persons or three persons that we need to speak to this week about your holy name. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, if you're on this website, you can send me an email. Any questions? Facebook me. MeWe. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm very out there and very available to anybody who has any questions. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.